Welcome to the Spiritual Phoenix Podcast Rekindled, a bi-weekly show about magic, spirituality, healing, and the unified theory of weirdness. I'm your host, Ross Cessna. Let's light it up. Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome back. So if you don't know, on my previous podcast, I would invite people on just to talk about what's going on in their life and kind of how they came into different things. I wanted to bring that concept back on this podcast. And today we have Damian Henry on to kind of talk about his path and what he is into. So Damian, what's up, brother?
What's up, brother? How is it going? It is cold on this side of the planet. I don't know what it's like on your side.
It's like 75, 80 degrees right now.
It's not bad.
So it's a warm one here.
Here, I think we're sitting at about, I don't know what the conversion is, but it's like 16 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, I'm not good at that either. I have no idea what that would be like.
I know that it's cold. All I know is that it's really cold. Because everyone's like always surprised. They're like, what? It gets that cold in Africa? I'm like, yes, it does. It gets really cold.
I wouldn't think that, but stranger things have happened, right?
Right, dude. Yeah, man.
So yeah, dude. My first question for you is kind of, what do you do? Like, who is Damian Henry outside of magic, first off?
Okay, so firstly, it's Harry.
Harry. Oh, sorry. No, I don't know why I see Henry, man. I don't know why.
That's fine, dude. Everyone everyone calls me like Daniel. I'm also Daniel. Or they call me Harry, and that's my first name. So
just, okay.
Always a thing. So I am currently a lecturer and a program coordinator at a media campus that's in Johannesburg, South Africa. So I teach acting for camera and film and performance and that kind of stuff. I also do a bit of like data wrangling and stuff for the institutions as well. So there's a bit of a range of things. And then also, you know, obviously a part-time actor and stuff. It's kind of necessary if that's what you're going to be teaching. So there's a bit of that as well. I do a lot of cinematography and I like filming things a lot. It's just, you know, I've always had a thing for filming and movies and that kind of stuff. I'm also a dad recently not recently anymore, as of like a year and a half ago.
Well, congratulations. So
quite the journey. Thanks. Man, yeah, dude, it's always, every day is a congratulations, man. You wake up something new, whether it's a new bug or a new smile, it's always something.
I like that attitude. That's a good outlook to have. Knowing what you do now, my question before we move on to magic is, how does magic interact with that? Do you see an overlap in your career in magic?
Yeah, there's a huge overlap, dude. There's like a massive overlap. If you think about it, like the first forms of ritual were drama, right? You know, like it was like the shot, like the hunters coming back after like hunting and like showing how they did stuff, or even like, you know, making jokes about how funny something happened, or like, you know, they made a mistake and that kind of stuff. So it was always like part of that kind of education that was very community based, like all the way back then. And I mean, like, even when you start studying drama and acting and stuff, one of the first things you learn about is ritual. Like it is literally a subject that you go through. You learn about ritual and like how, you know, drama and stuff came from all these rituals and how we kind of integrated it into life and stuff. So yeah, there is a huge overlap with that. And then also on the film side. Now the film side is where it gets a lot more interesting, because now, like, you know, I'm not just like, you know, showing, hey kids, okay, here's a camera, act in front of it. I'm like, oh, okay, no, I have to show you how to, you know, kind of, what's the word? I don't want to say manipulate, but you know, like you're teaching people how to use emotions to convey a message to an audience who then has to have like an emotional response to it as well. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting, because it gets like really deep with performance wise. And then also like when you're thinking like aesthetically. Like, you know, I'm constantly teaching students about like subtext and how, like, you know, marketing and media works, and how, okay, see guys, if we use a lot of red in this shot, it makes the audience feel like angry, you know, it kind of adds that stuff. So it's a lot of like showing the students how to see that overall story instead of just like what's been shown to them.
Yeah. So,
yeah, there's that, that, that there's like, I mean, there's so much, dude. I mean, they like all the tropes about like, you know, Hollywood and cults and stuff. I mean, like, I'm not going to deny it. I want to say that's just crazy, because I've had experiences like where, you know, like very like weird experiences where, you know, things that kind of confirmed some of those weird, wacky theories that I was like, no, wait, dude, no, that can't be real. But then you're like, whoa, wait, oh shit, this guy is actually, oh, okay. And then there's also, I mean, like, it is something that you get to understand, and that, you know, there's a lot of like conditioning and programming that goes into like creating like film and stuff. Like, you're constantly, it's not just, okay, let's record two people talking. It's like, okay, how do we make the audience feel a certain way about this thing? And how do we convince them of that emotion? And yeah, dude, like, it gets really deep and really quick when it comes, when you start overlapping magic and performance. Because I mean, like, they're both kind of rooted in each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of overlapping.
That's, I never really thought, it's interesting to hear somebody that's involved in that kind of say the things that you did, because it adds a lot of understanding to stuff that maybe wasn't clear to me before. My next question for you would be, what came first, your interest in film or your interest in magic?
Well, considering that like magic has kind of been this thing in my family for a long time, it was very like accepted. Not like fully practiced, but it was accepted, you know. Like, it was, there was a lot of spiritualism in the family. Like, it was completely like a normal thing. Like, my grand gave me a tarot deck to play with as a kid, and I've still got that tarot deck. It's still my tarot deck that I use and stuff. Like, it was even speaking to me yesterday. I was like, I see you in the corner there, you're calling, what do you want to say? So yeah, like, you know, growing up with like that kind of thing where it's just, it's normalized, it was kind of weird for me to kind of retrospectively think, oh, okay, so that wasn't normal. That's actually a very kind of magical thing. So I would definitely say that probably because it was family, like such a family thing, it like the magic came first, even though I didn't know it yet. Because, you know, to me, like my family was just like, yeah, you know, if you want something hard enough, you'll get it. You know, a lot of manifesting, a lot of that kind of, you know, style. And then it was only actually as I got older that I was like, okay, you know, let me kind of investigate this a bit more. And I mean, like I think it was grade 7. So that's what, like 13. I did a project on ghost hunting for like the science expo. So I was there. I'm like, I'm going to legitimately like talk about ghosts at a science expo. And I got that, you know, and that's the kind of person that I grew up was. Even though when I was younger, I was terrified because, so I've got epilepsy, so it's like temporal lobe. So it mixes with my memory and emotions and imagination and shit a lot. So I used to have a lot of like night terrors and shit as a kid. So like any like aliens, ghosts, all that crap. Yes, dude, I would like just freak the hell out and I'd run out the room and shit. And then eventually what kind of started happening is I started, you know, I don't know, like becoming more curious about it rather than scared. And then I became that weird kid who was like into aliens and UFOs and all that kind of stuff. And I guess like the epilepsy and the weird trippy shit that it does to my brain, like also kind of added to it. And then I think magic came in, like when I actually learned, oh, wow, you know, there's a community. There's people who are thinking these things. It's not just me. I'm not just alone, like thinking these crazy ass thoughts. And I was like, wow, okay. And then I started learning how to use it as like a structure. And then that kind of like led me on different paths, which then led me down into actually moving into film and to acting and stuff. Because I'm actually a dancer. Like, I'm a qualified dancer. I did dancing for like 4 years. I was getting sponsorships to go overseas and shit. And then I made a few bad choices as a, you know, postgraduate college student would. had an accident or two and then kind of, you know, left that. And then kind of I found myself in this kind of... you know, like I found myself in the position and then I found inspiration being put into that position. Because, you know, like you leave college, I'm like, okay, all I've got is a drama degree. What am I going to do? Let's go teach drama. So I ended up doing that. And I taught like around the country, like for a year, I was like backpacking and just homeless and just missioning around to like communes and backpackers. And I stayed on a self-sustainability farm, like a permaculture farm for a while. And that's where I actually got introduced to like teaching and like integrating drama and stuff. And it was so part of me like staying there and like living there was that I'd have to go teach at the local school. So yeah, like I started off with something like that. And then I was just like, I saw like how bad our education system was. And I was like, wow, this is terrible. Like, is this no wonder like we are in the state that we're in. And then, you know, that kind of phase, like, you know, I finished there and I left there and I came back to Joburg, and then I started teaching at an actual school. And then there I was just completely bombarded with how like rife the system was and how broken it was. And I was just, there was just so much. And then that kind of sent me on this path of like, you know, I need to fix this. Like, this is bullshit. Like, we can't have like, this isn't sustainable. So that's kind of been my like tilt since like 2013. And I think like now, like, you know, I'm starting to see fruits of it coming through, and like the practice is actually coming. And, you know, I have to thank my magical practices for that, because it was due to seeing those systems and understanding them that I was able to actually kind of compartmentalize my brain and get it to function. Because, I mean, I was fucked, dude. I was really fucked up before I got my shit together. I was like proper like messed in the head person. You know, I would have probably been like one of those crazy conspiracy people if I hadn't like sobered up and gotten my shit together and stuff. And it was, you know, I used magic a lot, like when it came to sobering up as well. Like, it was this constant meditation. It was like, you know, those working of intentions. And I think, like, I know I've listened to your podcast. I know it's something you would understand as well. You know, like, it's, you know, it just helps so much. And then what I started doing is I started integrating it into my teaching. I started like, you know, teaching students these little techniques and stuff, because it still fits it into the narrative of acting. I mean, there's still acting tools. I mean, like, a lot of the methods and techniques that we use in acting are very similar to some of the stuff that you'll read in, like, you know, Phil Hines and that kind of stuff. So I play around a lot with that, and I kind of mix them into it. And then like getting into film and stuff was kind of just the byproduct of the teaching, because I got you know, told to teach the subject, which was acting for camera. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, now I need to learn about cameras and stuff. So then that became my little kind of artistic outlet, was like creating and making stuff for film and just messing around. Whereas my like real, like, actual work is the stuff that no one knows about and no one sees. It's the shit that I'm busy doing like in the background. And always kind of putting up this nice facade to everyone to look at and be like, oh, look, Damien's doing stuff. But they don't know like what the actual stuff is. And that, you know, it's kind of, so I like it because that's my occult work. You know, it's my stuff that I do in secret. And it probably has the more impact than the stuff that I do for like show and for glam, for glitz and stuff. Which is, you know, that, like, again, that comes back down to magic. It's how just like, you know, integrated the systems and saw how, okay, cool. You know, this technique that, you know, Phil Hines talks about, where he talks about the like the astral body, the kinetic body, and you're imagining this body. Guess what? Let me integrate that into an acting exercise. Right, guys. So now what I want you to do is you find out everything about your character, and we're going to imagine what it feels like to be them. And I kind of take them through that, the same journey that like Phil Hines would do it like with that, like, but now with the character. And then I've stepped it up even more. And I've taken it just out of the educational front and just be like, you know, self-improvement. So it's like, okay, here, you can use these techniques and tools, not just to be a good actor, but actually to be a better version of yourself. So that's kind of how I got to the point where I am now.
Wow, man, that sounds like a wild ride. And like you said, there is a lot of parallels in our story there. I'm glad you were able to find your way out of the darkness of that. One question that I have for you is, do you think, in lots of cultures, they view that people that kind of have these hard roads are people that are supposed to do something or have more of a connection. Do you think that that's true in your experience?
Yeah, dude. Okay, so in South Africa, it's very weird, but like it's almost like we're all kind of paganish, because there's like traditional beliefs and stuff that are very colloquial that everyone kind of sticks to. Like, you know, not even like the whitest of white people will go mess with the witch doctor, because, you know, there's that, like, you know, just in case. We don't want to do it just in case, you know, just in case they put a curse or something. So it's very interesting, because there's such a broad acceptance for it in a specific kind of way. Like, from what I've seen from my experience with teaching, like, acting students especially, dude, they like, there's at least one student a year from like each year group that has a calling. So a calling would be like, okay, then they are called to be like, come like a sangoma or a witch doctor or a sangoma and stuff. Right. And it's so, you know, it's ingrained like into society that it's like normal. It's like, okay, cool. This student is going through their initiation process, so we must just be like wary, because there'll be literal times where you'll be sitting in class and maybe you're getting into an exercise, especially, you know, with acting, you're doing a lot of trance work. You're doing a lot of like meditation, deep work. You're accessing all these emotions and memories and stuff. And like next thing, poof, there's an ancestor that just like comes out. And then it's like eyes are rolling and like this demonic, like weird voice is coming out and they're busy speaking in vernac. And you're like, what do I do? Like, how do I, like, what do I do now? And there's just like this weird normalism to it. But it's weird. Like, I would never be able to go and say, hey, I'm a witch. Because then that's like, whoa, dude, no, you've like, no, that's dodgy. But if I say, no, I burn sage, you know, and I pray to the ancestors and I, you know, pray to this, and then that's fine. That's okay. So it's a weird fine line because, you know, like, yeah, it's interesting. Like there is a lot of magical practice, but I don't think people know that they're practicing magic, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's just part of their daily life. They don't really give it a second thought.
They'll be like Christians, like hardcore Christians. You will still do like little pagan kind of rituals because they're like colloquial rituals. Like you'll still have people that go to church every Sunday. Also, you know, once every while I'll go and go see the Sangoma, see how the ancestors are feeling, that kind of thing. And it's cool to live in a world where that's like so, like it's accepted. It's not like this weird thing. It's not like this weird, you know, it's not weird. It's just that's just how it is.
Yeah. My next question to you then would be, since we're talking about like the locality, how much do you think locality impacts your own personal practice?
I'd say a lot, because I mean, living here, you know, obviously we see the world in a different perspective, right? Like, you know, like I could probably tell you about things that you could never imagine having ever seen and like experienced it. So obviously, you know, you'll have like, because you have like different sets of experiences that are available in a specific area, you know, that will kind of determine how that person like grows and starts perceiving things. Like I'm very privileged and fortunate in the fact that like my dad was working in IT when I was really young. So I was exposed to the internet from like a really young age, like from when I was like 10 or something. I was like on there chat rooms, everything, like old school stuff. You know, so I got that kind of world perspective. But at the same time, I've still like retained my like colloquial perspective and like an understanding, which also like, you know, I'm always constantly learning. And it's not like, oh, I was always this like bright and wonderful person who knew stuff. Like, no, dude, I was an asshole. I was, you know, when I was a kid, I was also probably like really racist and shit because that's how our parents raised us. That's like what was accepted as the norm. You know, and it took us as becoming adults to realize, hey, dude, no, that's actually not right. Like, and I, you know, it's very interesting seeing that kind of dynamic shift, but they're not like seeing much change about it. But I've got like stuff around you. Like I've got like Mpepu. So for Mpepu, for example, is like a local sage, right? It's used by Sangomas and healers and traditional people like to clear a space and all that kind of stuff. And then I've got that stuff. I've got like, you know, these little things that like kind of remind me of where I am and like who I am and like what part of the world I'm in. Because, you know, you have to constantly be grounded if you're going to be doing work that is to like, you know, work towards a communal difference. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm not just trying to like, you know, fix my life. I'm like, yeah, I'd love to fix my life. But I have a daughter now. Like, I want to fix the world, man. And it's not just this little thing anymore. It's like, I don't want her to have to grow up in the shit that I had to grow up with. And, you know, see the world from a different perspective. And like, I'm very fortunate that my wife is also very, like, also open-minded. I mean, she's also very big. She practices her own things. She does. She loves sigils. She loves, like, we've got our own cards. Like, we all kind of do our own thing. So it is, like, very acceptable. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting because like where I'm at in Ohio, man, I'm a freaking weirdo. I had somebody come up to me one time and tell me I was like what was it? Abomination of God.
Okay, that's like so weird, dude. Like I think the thing here in SA as well is we're so it's you know, all like most religions are normalized. We're like pretty accepting, except the satanic temple. When they rocked up, everyone was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Even though, you know, like they're like not much. But I mean, like here we've got like mosques across the road from synagogues. It's just so, you know, it's entwined. And I think that, you know, that's, it is one of the reason that keeps me here and doesn't like, I don't want to leave because there's that like sense of entwinedness that I don't like, I can't imagine experiencing anywhere else. And it's just like, you know, it's this mixing pot of like just cultures and stuff. Like, you know, if, when I see like a Muslim guy at the shop, I'll be like, salam, brother. You know, like see a Jewish dude on a Friday, the Mazel Tov King. You know, it's just like this, like we don't, religion isn't such a big part of like who we are, but it is, but it's such a part that we don't really worry about it. But if I had to dress up like a hardcore goth and stuff, I'd probably get comments and all that crap as well. But actually, then again, I don't know, because now like the culture shifts and the fashion trends and stuff are so insanely like mind-boggling. I mean, I've got students who, I mean, I'm like, you can think like, I am like pretty much, I am the only white guy when I'm in class, right? All my students are local. They're all like, and like, I mean, there's students rocking up, like dressed like hardcore goth, dude, with like Led Zeppelin shirts and stuff on. I'm like, name one song. And they'll like list an entire album. I'm like, okay, well, there we go. You know, it just shattered my perception. Thank you.
It sounds like a really unique place to be, man. It sounds like a very interesting spot.
Yeah, dude. And that's not to negate like the bad shit as well. Like, I think, you know, the reason why us as South Africans also maybe are so ritualistic and stuff. I mean, dude, you must see how we party on the weekends. Like Friday is like it's insane. Like every weekend, it is just like this massive celebration around the country because, you know, we have so much shit that we have to deal with like all the time that any chance we get, we're just going to fucking celebrate as much as we can. And like, you know, try to release ourselves from that sorrow that we have to deal with every day. I mean, like the other day, dude, like for example, the other day of like crazy ass shit, there's a baby in a bag dumped outside school. Wow. There's like, I mean, like, and that's, you know, that's kind of a normal thing. That's what's, it's like, you know, I mean, I was laughing the other day, like I was looking at, it was like your, you know, like it was with the shooting and stuff that had recently happened. And I was looking at, it showed like the gun murders per like per capita and stuff. And you guys are like sitting at 4, right? Guess what we're sitting at?
What would it be?
Take a wild guess.
10?
Close. Pretty good. 11.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, like we're sitting like, you know, like 50 something murders a day.
Holy shit.
Doesn't make the news, dog.
I can't even fathom that, like, man.
Right? And there was like, why do South Africans drink and smoke so much?
Yeah, you definitely need to escape the pressure some way. Do you feel that your work is contributing to healing that field in some way?
I hope so. I really hope so. Like, you know, over the past like few years, especially like, when like the pandemic and stuff hit, we all kind of went into lockdown and I went into early quarantine and I was like one of the first people in the country to get tested. I was so early in testing that they refused to release my results because, you know, they didn't want to cause mass panic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
wild. Just like, no, we're not going to do it. It's impossible. You can't have it because, you know, you weren't traveling. I'm like, my guy, I had been filming bands that had been in China and overseas for the past 2 weeks. I had been like, you know, touring with them. No, you can't have it. So I'm like, okay. But apparently there were a lot of people that went through that, but yeah. So I got locked up pretty early. And I, you know, obviously, you know, seeing what was about to happen, I was like, okay, let me try find some extra funds. And I got into online teaching. And then, you know, lockdown came and yeah, synchronicity. Guess what? I have no good now. I go teach people how to do. And now, like, I just recently finished an international course. It's actually something really cool. You should check it out. Like, you're one of the people when they were saying, would you like anyone to like try it? You were literally one of the people because I see your stuff on Facebook. And I'm like, Ross would enjoy this. I should actually tell him about it. So it's called ONL. It's like Open Network Learning, and it's just a course about, you know, how to open up education and how to find like these free resources and stuff. And it was really cool because, you know, at first I was like, what am I going to do here, man? I'm just like this little drama teacher from South Africa with bad internet. Like, what am I going to do with all these people with like master's degrees and PhDs and all this stuff? And by the end of it, like I did, I brought my little bits and I hope I did. And it was, you know, and it was what the funny part was that I had, you know, I showed them you need to be more fun when you're teaching. Like students, we aren't teaching the same students anymore. Like we've got people who are now You know, you're having TikTok and YouTube and Instagram to contend with. You know, why go learn maths when you can just go onto TikTok, follow some maths dude who, like, you know, does it 10 times better?
That's a really insightful point.
Right? So, like, that is something that I'm now currently, like, working on. Like, I'm not sure where to go with it. Like, I've done the studies, and I'm like, in my institution, I've reached, like, a level, and I wanted, like, you know, go a bit further to start implementing change and, like, talking about how we deal with curriculum and how we deal with, like, content, how it's delivered, all that kind of stuff. And then hopefully, like, after that, I can take it further and, like, you know, move more up into, like, state and governmental processes where then it gets implemented, like, broadly. But yeah, dude, so we got to see, like, as I've learned with my practice and process, is that it is a process and it takes time. All my results that have always come instantaneously have always been not exactly what I wanted. So I've learned to not just want things instantly. I'd rather, like, take the time, put in the work, and, like, you know, go through the drudges. So when I do get to that point, I actually know, okay, cool, I know what I'm doing. I can actually institute something. So it is weird coming from, like, that, you know, like, you know, when you're not in recovery, dude, when you're not sober, like, fucking your head's, like, in another place. You know, and, like, when, I mean, I was just reading an old blog now before we started, and it was this post from, like, 2013 talking about, like, you know, how depressed I was. And, like, what I had done is I'd, like, actually written on it, like, every few years afterwards, like, talking about the progress. And the last one was, like, I'm proud of you. And I commented now saying, I'm even more prouder of you. You know, because it's just, like, seeing that development, like, gave me that thing. I'm like, okay, dude, you could actually do something. Like, you're stepping into a realm now where it's not just, like, a dream anymore. You have the responsibility of actually implementing things. Like, you have this idea, you need to get it out there, and you need to, like, do it and make it happen, because, you know, the world needs that. Like, I mean, like, for a random example, I want to, you know, start talking about, like, mobilizing education. So, like, for example, like, here by us, data is cuck expensive, like, really expensive, dude. Like, it is insane. It is insanely expensive. Especially for, like, you know, when you consider, like, how much, like, we have as, like, you know, citizens and stuff, it's really insane and absurd how much we pay for data. But, you know, there are other processes that kind of, like, get that into place. But, you know, there's also now this other thing is that, you know, there are, I think the last time I read, there were, like, 4,000 computers in South Africa for teaching. So there are 4,000, only 4,000 computers Wow. across the whole country in classes. Well, that was, like, the most recent stats that I'd read. And I was like, okay, but how many of those students have a cell phone? Right. So why aren't we, like, you know, like, working more towards, like, bringing that education into something more mobile than just, like, sitting there and expecting, waiting for people's, like, oh, when are you going to get a computer, bro? I'm like, no, dude, it's on their phone. They don't need a computer. So like, that's one project that I'm working towards. And it's just, like, these little things like that. You know, and it's weird because, you know, it's not stuff that you want to get, like, credit for. You want to see it work. That's it. Like, you don't care what happens. You just want it to work because it's not about you. It's about that, like, grander scale of things and think, okay, I've got to think ahead. And I guess that is something that really started when my daughter came around. Well, when we found out that she was pregnant, dude, like, the next day I was gymming. I was a nah, dude, I need to get, like, fit. I need to be able to, like, handle being a dad. Like, how am I going to do this stuff? You know, so there has been that drive as well. And it is that constant, like, okay, I always think about this, like, how would I create content for joy? How would I create stuff for my daughter? What would be the easiest thing for her? How would, like, you know, how would I integrate things? And there's, like, so much that can be done and doesn't take that much effort, but I don't think people know, you know, that it can be done like that. They just haven't put the dots together. And, you know, that's where I have magic to thank, you know, because some of my best ideas and concepts have come from when I'm deep in meditation and I'm, you know, inside a tantric session where I'm, like, you know, doing, like, weird yoga and shit and, like, pushing my body to, like, get that endorphin rush and to hit the brain into that focus mode and to, like, get that zen. And then poof, there's that idea. And I'm like, oh shit, quickly type it out to the boss. You know, so it's just that, like, constant, like, evaluation of, you know, making sure the system works. And I think that's where, you know, magic and chaos magic especially comes in, because that's what it does. It works a lot with systems. You know, it's like, okay, if you do this, you get that. If you do that, that gets this. Da, 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 da. And that ability that also I'm kind of, you know, thankful to my epilepsy for, because the ADD and all that shit that it comes with is also that ability to be able to, like, you know, compartmentalize and see multiple things happening at once and be like, okay, no, wait, I see an issue that's going to happen here if we follow this path. You know, and again, that's what I've been kind of been known as at work. It's like, if there's an issue, just call D. No, just call D. That's it. It's just call D. Like, whatever it is, just call me and I will somehow fix it.
That's a good reputation to have.
Right? Even though, like, it'll be something I have no idea, like, what to do. Like, I have no idea. This is like asking shit I have never seen before in my life. And then I'll be like, okay, well, let me have a look. And then that's also the, you know, the thing is like that, just that constant curiosity. It's like, okay, let me just see. And it's always been those let me just see moments that have, like, led to these other things that have, like, you know, accumulated and progressed.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a spiritual path kind of intertwined with magic too. Would you say that that's true?
Yeah, dude. I don't know. Like, the other day, I saw this nice debate on Facebook about Christian witches, and because, you know, like, intrinsically, I've grown up with Christian values. Like, so, you know, I understand a lot of, like, you know, the Christian kind of stuff, and, you know, the first thing, you're like, you know, I will be like, oh my God, and I'm like, oh my Krishna, or oh my Shiva, it's oh my God, you know, and that kind of stuff. So there's that, but also, like, in the sense that, like, you know, I don't appreciate what Christianity is at the moment. Like, I don't think, like, you know, this is what it's supposed to be. Like, I don't think any of the religions as they are now are how they're supposed to be, you know, because it's so much of this dogma trying to get that black brownie points for the afterlife. It's like, there's no afterlife, dude. There's just here, now, and forever. So, you know, instead of, like, wasting time in a building, you know, thinking about this thing that probably doesn't exist, just go outside and see that it does. You know, this is when people say, like, oh, which church do you go to? I'm like, I go to church every time I step outside the door. You know, I can just look up and I can see, look, like, the universe is amazing, dude. Like, the fact that I am seeing shit right now is fucking amazing. Like, the statistics, like, the odds of that happening, of us having this conversation right now, is almost impossible. But we're here having it. But also, I mean, I'm like, if you look at my altar, I've got, like, Shiva, I've got Ganesh, I've got Nataraja, I've got crucifixes, I've got a Star of David, I've got a pentagram, I've got, like, everything. So it's that real kind of chaotic kind of, you know, path. I don't like labeling it because it always changes. You know, if I find something that's more useful and something that interests me and, like, you know, affects me, and I'm like, oh, okay, yes, I'm going to integrate this. I like this. I'm going to use that. For me, it's, like, kind of weird to pray to deities and ask them for stuff, because I'm like, I don't want to impede on their space, man. They've got their own stuff to worry about. I'll sort my own shit out. You know, this is my universe. I need to sort this shit out. I don't want to just worry about someone else. What if, like, 10 years down the line, I'm sitting there at the Golden Gates and Ganesh rocks up and he's like, oh, my guy, come, we must speak penance now. You know, it's like,
I get, yeah, it. So do you like the archetypes of them?
Yeah, I would say that I'm quite big into, like, the psych model, understanding archetypes, and that also comes then again from the acting and the drama, is understanding those instinctual you know, emotions and stuff, and all these archetypes that have, like, kind of been embedded into us through, like, through the eons and through the decades and stuff. And, you know, I fully believe that, you know, everyone, like, kind of makes funny when I say, like, you know, it's all in your head, but it is all in your head. Like, that's where the power is. It's all in your head. You know, like, I think, you know, I would go as far to say, like, you know, that entities and stuff are, you know, not just, like, these outside world entities and stuff, but also, like, you know, intranet kind of entities that, like, exist within, like, systems, like, almost like, what's the word, intrinsically, like, you know, they're there, like, the system, like, was designed and it kind of made itself how it did to get to a state that it works, and because the system did that, there were, like, these kind of things that came with it, you know. So it's not like, oh no, your God doesn't exist. I'm like, I fully believe that your God exists and every other one, like, that's, you know, that's the kind of level of it that it is.
Okay. So it's kind of like they all exist, but there's also this intrinsicness that kind of links them too, if I'm understanding correctly.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's I'm not one for dogma. Like I'd like if say if I'm having like, you know, I'm having a conversation with God. I'm having a conversation with God. I'm not going to be like, oh, dear God, please, can I have this for Easter? I pray, I swear I'll be a good boy. And she'll be like, oh, fuck, man, why? Why did you do that? Like, why? Why couldn't you just like give me a heads up before you had to go throw that shit in my face? Like, you know, it's like having a like that best friend conversation. And I think, you know, whatever like path you choose, whatever, like, you know, wherever you go, that is like kind of where you want to approach it, is to have that like truthfulness between you and whatever that is that you're praising. Because you want it to be honest, and you want to be honest with it, because if you're lying, you know, it's going to come back to you anyway.
Yeah, authenticity is incredibly important. And I think that authenticity with yourself and magic and spirituality or whatever your path may be is of the utmost importance. Because if you're not coming from a real place, you can't really get anything meaningful from it.
And you know what is? You know what the best part is? That is the core value in acting.
Hmm. That's kind of wild.
Like it's all connected, dude. You know, there's this weird perception or misperception of acting. Like when they say, okay, no, an actor is acting. It's like, if you can see an actor is acting, then they're not acting.
Hmm.
Right? Then they're just rehearsing, or they're doing a very shit job of it. Because when the real, like the truth in acting is that the actor actually feels. They don't just pretend. Like they actually put themselves into that state of that character. Be like, okay, you know, what do I understand and relate to what this character is going through, and how can I make that real? And ultimately, like, that is the only way, especially for camera, right? Because on stage, it's fine. You can be loud, and you've got to be loud. You've got to make sure that the granny with the hearing aid at the right to the back of the room can hear you and see you, like, and see all your expressions. But with camera, you know, that camera's like right in your face, like looking at all those little micro expressions and details. And if you're not 100% real and actually feeling what that character is going through and understanding it, it's going to look fake. And it's going to look shit. So the trick is to actually feel it, right? And that's where like the real like core of acting comes into, is like feeling real emotions. It's not just pretending. It's putting yourself into that state. And then the skill comes when you pull yourself out of it. You know, because it's easy for us to get emotional and put ourselves into a state. But for a professional actor, they have to be able to go in and out instantaneously with no, like, no worries, no issues. And it is difficult, because, you know, at first you think, oh, it's easy. It's fine. All I got to do is this. It's not, you know, like to like really deliver something that when someone looks at you, like, and they can feel what you're feeling, you know, you have to really feel that. And if you don't, like, we're going to see it. Like, we're instantly going to see it. We're going to feel it. We're going to know that there's something off. Like, you know, it just doesn't feel like it's supposed to. So, yeah, dude. So there, another little synchronicity when it comes to acting and magic is, like, if you're not real in that moment, people are going to know.
Yeah.
And I think, ironically, like, me getting into magic is what made me more real. Because I started seeing all the unreal things about me and started taking it. Like, hey, okay. So that's not entirely normal. You should probably get that checked out. You know, oh, maybe you should like think about that differently. And it was slowly through those processes of like having to go into the self and go through the shadow and have those fights and have those like arguments with yourself that, you know, you're like, ah, I see now. Like one of my wackiest like thought experiments was, and I made a meme about it. It was, the moment you realize that the imaginary friend you had as a child was you.
Hmm.
Right. Yeah. And so now this is like one of the things that I've been like kind of working and thinking about is like, you know, like how a quantum computer can, you know, can traverse back in its own time, its own perceived time, and like change something in the past that will kind of, you know, affect the future. Although now we've seen and they've done the experiments and it shows that it makes very little difference to the future or to the present if you go back and change the past. So I'm thinking, okay. And I used to sit there and I used to think, you know, like I used to always see these weird things in the backyard, right? These like weird, like lights and like figures and like this dark shadowy man standing in the corner. And then like years later, when I was, you know, just after college, like probably in my late 20s and stuff, and I was standing in the backyard, like in this corner, in the dark corner, smoking a joint. And I was just like, wait a minute. What if that man in the corner was me here now looking at myself back then? And, you know, my brain just went poof, poof, and like kind of popped after that. So that's been a lovely thought experiment. So I play a lot around with like chronesthesia or chronesthesia or something like that. So it's the whole thing of traveling back in time in your brain. So it's, you know, like visiting memories and stuff.
Hmm.
But then I kind of take it further. I'm like, but what if we're actually imprinting ourselves into that time, you know, through our memories? What if that glowing orb is me thinking back of that onto that moment? Right?
I've had similar thoughts and experiences, man. So it's weird that you mentioned that.
Synchronicity, dog. There we go.
So one of my questions is, since you're talking about some of your experiences, what would be one of the weirdest experiences that you would feel comfortable discussing?
Yeah, there's like so much. because the funny part is that, you know, because with like the epilepsy and stuff, like I used to see lots of shit. Like, I mean, even now, like if I look at grass, it's what like a person who's on LSD or mushrooms sees. Like, you know, that kind of everything moves and wavy. If I look at any intricate detailed kind of thing, it starts moving and shit. So like seeing like weird stuff and experiencing weird things, it's very hard to contextualize because a lot of it was normalized for me as a child. Because, you know, my parents were like, no, you're just looking for attention. You know, there's da, 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 da. You know, this is normal for you. And there was something even like in the last podcast, like they were talking about like, you know, these like connecting to those moments and stuff. And I was like, wow, that's a good point. And it is like, you know, like I was like wondering, like, what if it is that, you know, because my brain, because I got knocked on the head, because I, whatever it was, I mean, there's a multiple reasons. It's probably an amalgamation of things that led to my brain being slightly broken. But, you know, like, what if that was all just part of it? What if, you know, that is the reason why I get to see these things differently, why I see stuff like that? So I think, like, probably the weirdest thing was... I don't know. Now, yeah, like it's so weird because a lot of stuff just happens normally. Like today, for example, I'm sitting at work, just sitting outside having a smoke, speaking to students. Next thing I just hear this person shouting, Whitey, Whitey. And I'm like, you know, and I can hear that it's been directed at like in my direction. So I turn and it's like this man across the road, just like waving. And I'm like, are you talking to me? And he's like, yes, you come here. I'm like, what? So I go over and he's like, I just wanted to tell you, you remind me of my son. And then like I ended up having a conversation with him and he was like asking about like all these things. And, you know, then I ended up going and getting him some old clothes and stuff. You know, there's lots of things that happen like that, like where these like synchronistic moments where like I've just learned to kind of go with it. Like the universe shows me a quick little sign that says, hey, dude, you want a quick side quest? OK, mm-hmm. Cool. Let's go, bro. Then I just kind of run off with it. But I think probably the most like weirdest thing, the first thing that comes to mind was seeing, like I was speaking about earlier, seeing a student transition to ancestor. Like that was just so I was still a student and she was in my class. So, I mean, that's how common it is. It just happens, especially in drama, because, you know, we're drawn to these things. You know, I always had that kind of spiritual thing. So I was never scared of that stuff. I was always curious. I always also grew up with like a helper lady who was very open about that stuff and told me a lot about like traditional values and like, you know, especially like the vernacular local ones. And it was just like seeing that person that I knew completely disappear. Like just like she left, dude. That her face like shifted, changed. And suddenly it was this old lady in my hands because she had like started like seizing. And I ran to like catch her and she's like, oh, no, they're coming. And then she's like, proper. And the next thing, like, you just see like the person like fade away and this like face just changes. And then the voice changes. And it's just like, okay, this is some real shit now. This is some real shit now. And it's like a lot of those things are just, you know, it's like I kind of find myself in situations where those kinds of things tend to happen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And just like weird things. So yeah, to try like pick out one specific one. A great fun example would be how my daughter got her name. Right. So her name is Joy. And I have a thing about crows. Like, I love crows. I've always loved crows since I watched The Crow as a child. We had found out that we were pregnant and stuff. Well, not we, but my wife was pregnant. I would not want to go through that. So we always had that thing of, if we saw crows, it always, like, you know, it's a sign, like, okay, one for sorrow, two for joy, three for a girl, four for a boy. And like, so whenever we see crows, we'd kind of like sing along and say it, and like, oh, where's your friend if there was only one? The day we were going to go get the scan to find out, there were these two crows. They were just like chilling, and like they were the local crows, and I knew them, I'd seen them before, and I knew, like, you know, the mom and the dad. And they were just chilling on the fucking roof right there next door as we were leaving, just like staring. And I was just like, if it's a girl, I'm going to name her Joy, because it's two for joy, like one for sorrow, two for joy. So we get to the scan place, and I swear on my fucking life, and I swear life now, God can, whoever, all the guys can strike me down. Step out of the car, three crows circling the scan clinic. So I said to my wife, I'm like, you know what we're in for, right? So we went in, and that was it. Like, you know, they kind of said, like, you know, this is what her name was. Well, what we kind of decided was that it was her already here, you know, kind of putting stuff in place. Because when mm-hmm. she arrived, did she, like, she came early. She came a whole month early. And, like, we were already worried, because technically I'm not supposed to have kids, because my boys are broken, right? Well, the one on the one side is broken. So, like, you know, so already, like, her being was just like, what, you know? And then, like, she came early, and, like, that was, like, our biggest fear. It's like, oh, no, there's complications. Fuck. So that was, like, this, like, tremendous emotional, for, like, 3 days. Yes, my wife was in labor for 3 days. So, again, you know, those threes and all the numbers popping up. And then she was born on 4/20. Right? Her second name is Aurora, right? So her whole name spelled out is Joy Aurora Harry. So her acronym is JAH, J-A-H. JAH was born on 4/20. And like, it's shit like that, dude. It's right. I'm just like, you know, I sit there, I'm like, you're playing a joke, aren't you? You're playing a joke on me, aren't you? Like, you're just fucking with me. But it's fine. I like it. It's a good joke. It's really funny. It's really cool. I'll keep this one. But you're fucking with me, aren't you? So yeah, this is, yeah, dude, it's been very interesting. And like, even that kind of mentality is also stems from the family. Because my family is very big on like omens and that kind of stuff. My uncle died when he was like, or when I was really young. And that was like a big thing. And there was like, you know, the crazy part is that it was, he died in a car crash on the way to a Halloween party, which he was dressed up as a car crash victim.
Oh, wow.
So there's been like, you know, there's a lot of that kind of family vibe, you know, that, so there's always like, no, don't make jokes about that kind of stuff. Don't say that. And even now it's like my wife, like she's also knows, like she'll say something. I'm like, don't finish that sentence. No. Don't put that out there. And it's funny because I've done some research and, well, you know, as much research as I can from my gran and what she can remember. Her family comes from carnival folk, right? So they came to South Africa with the circus. That's like, there was a circus that like was very big and popular, and they, like, one half the family came with the circus. The other half is Freemasons. Like full, you know, high priest Freemasons. So my like great granddad was one of like the Freemason here in South Africa. So there was always that like kind of weird, you know, magical, occulty kind of like feel to the family. Mm-hmm. There's always like, you know, there's just lots of like omens and lots of that kind of stuff. So, you know, it was very like, the weirdest part for me as growing up as an adult was, you know, understanding that those things weren't normal, and then kind of going back into that process where I've now normalized them and understand why my parents do those things. Right? Like that weird, like that big circle.
Life definitely is a big circle in lots of ways, in my experience. We're kind of coming to the end of this. I got a couple questions for you. Who would you say some of your major influences are in your practice?
My gran. but seriously though, because she did, I mean, she opened me to a lot of that stuff. You know, she gave me the tarot deck. I knew like about the tarot deck before I was like 13. Like that was a normal conversation for me. Like to talk about, you got a tower there. Oh, some shit's about to happen. You know, like, so, you know, there was that, she really normalized it and that. But I think someone who like kind of like, you know, solidified it for me, because it was Phil Hines. I happened to stumble upon Condensed Chaos. And I read like the first few chapters and I was like, wait a minute, this is very familiar. This is all very like, this is clicking things in my head. And that was probably I battle to read because of like the ADD and the dyslexia and all that shit. So it's not like I see things backwards. It's just that I miss words, or like what'll happen is I'll read one sentence and I'll have to continuously like reread it until, so I got these weird things. So it's like really difficult to read. But Phil Hines and then Grant Morrison, because I like comics and I like the way that he vibes. And obviously there's, you know, Aldous Huxley. I went through that whole phase as like, you know, college students. You're like, yeah, bro, went through like everything. But I think the person who I would, if I had to recommend a starting point, it would be Phil Hines.
Okay.
Because I like the way that he spoke about things.
Yeah, I like Phil Hind. I like him better than Peter Carroll, personally.
Yeah, like, I loved Libanol. Like, I still had it on audiobook, and I'd like listen to it, and I'd do like, and I still went through the whole like pentagram thing, dude. I sat there taking acid, and I fucking sat there listening to that whole book, and I was like, I'm gonna do this shit now, you know, and like went all the way. But you know, at the end, like all they tell you is you have to go find out for yourself. We can only show you so much. You know, and like that's what I appreciated about like, you know, people that did. It's like, you know, they didn't have to say a lot, but they could do a lot by saying a little. You know, that they continuously led you on these thought experiments that you'd like find yourself going down, and you know, sometimes they'd be useless and pointless. But maybe that was the point, was to see how what useless and pointless is, and how, you know, to contextualize that so you can see what the opposite is, so you can work towards whatever you need to.
I like that. One of the final questions, I guess, is going to be, what message or what suggestion would you make to people who might just be starting out in magic?
My first thing is to be like, don't. Don't, because it doesn't ever stop. Like, once you start, then you kind of realize that it was there the whole time. And I think that's it, is be open to realizing that, to looking back on those moments, to traveling back in time, to going back to your youth and to your childhood and seeing, like, looking back at that magic that was there. Because, you know, when we lived in the world then, we were so rife with belief and we were so accepting of what we saw and experienced. You know, like, you know, me as a kid suffering with epilepsy and hallucinations and all this shit. You know, also then being told like, no, that's, you know, you're just, it's not real. But I'm like, this is fucking real. I can hear people calling me. Like, there's a reason why I run into the room saying yes. It's not just because, you know, I feel like I'm looking for attention. It's because I heard you call me. I would say to be ready, because it will change you. It will change everything about you. But then you also kind of realize that you have been changing the whole time. It's just you never had, you know, the understanding that you were doing it. And then, like, once you get into it and you start reading the techniques and the methods, kind of you're starting to confirm things for yourself as well. And you're like, okay, you know, wow, I didn't think about that. Oh, well, let me try this. Oh, wow, that works better than the way that I used to do it. So just be open and be ready.
I really like that as a suggestion. Damien, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today, man. I really enjoyed it, and it would be an honor to have
you
back on at some point.
Thank you, dude. This has been awesome.
Awesome,
man.
Yeah,
I'd love to, dude. This is awesome, awesome stuff. I feel so like, ooh, bubbly and stuff now.
Yeah, me too, man. It was a great time chatting with you, and I hope to have you on again sometime. I'll let you close the show by saying peace to everybody, or however you want to close it, man.
Peace out, y'all. That's about it. I don't know what else to do, dog.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in. If you've enjoyed what you heard, you can show us some support by leaving a kind review wherever you're listening, sharing the show with your friends, and getting involved with our online community with the link in the show notes. We'll chat again soon. May good fortune be with you always. Peace.